Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Mayor Bill de Blasio, his first appearance on the show since taking office. The mayor will be on just after 11 o'clock. Also, a wild weekend in the Bridgegate scandal. We'll fill you in on the bombshell allegation that Christie knew about the lane closures, and there is evidence to prove it. But is there a bombshell fact to back up the bombshell charge? Former Republican governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, today, now running to be the next Democratic governor of Florida. We'll explore his political apostasy and the issues underneath it for the nation. Should Lunar New Year become a school holiday? We'll ask that today, and we'll talk about the legacy of Philip Seymour Hoffman and the real-life scandal behind the movie American Hustle. But first, let's turn back to New Jersey, where we are going to need to replace the shocks on this bus if politicians keep getting thrown under it. Matt Katz is our man on the Christie beat. He is here to explain these developments and try to piece together a what Christie knew when timeline. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming back on.
You got it, Brian.
And I guess one thing this might prove is there's no such thing as a Friday afternoon news dump in the age of social media. That was supposed to be the case in the past, where people would release things that they didn't want to get publicity on Friday afternoon. This came out 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. So what was this letter? Who was it from? Who was it to? And what was its purpose?
Sure. Yeah, if you stop paying attention to the news at Friday at 3, you missed a lot. Friday about 4 o'clock, this letter gets released. It's from the attorney for David Wildstein, who is one of the key figures in this Bridgegate scandal. He's the one who carried out the orders at the Port Authority to close these lanes, and he's trying to get the Port Authority to pay his legal bills. So that's ostensibly what this letter was about. It was to the Port Authority from his lawyer: this is why you need to pay my legal bills. But in the letter is a massive accusation, and that's that Christie knew about the lane closures from at least the time that they happened, which contradicts what he's said so far. So that sent every reporter in America seemingly scurrying. But if you kind of read it again and again and again, as I did, it says evidence exists. We don't know if Wildstein or anyone else has such evidence or will put it forward. It doesn't say that Wildstein has it. And he also, Wildstein in the letter, says that some of what Christie has said isn't true, but he doesn't specifically say what Christie said that's not true. So there's another kind of other thing going on here, and that's Wildstein is looking for immunity from the feds. He doesn't want to go to prison. So it's possible that he's dangling information here, potentially bluffing, to indicate that he has information that he may not have. But regardless, the fact that a key figure, a former close ally of his, said that the governor knew about this was very damning and totally distracted from Christie's big Super Bowl weekend.
So listeners, if you have any questions trying to clarify this wild weekend in Bridgegate, 212-433 WNYC, Matt Katz, Mr. Clarity on the Christie beat will help do that for you. 212-433-9692, or any evidence that you have that the governor knew or didn't know, or anything you want to add to this conversation after such massive media coverage of this over the weekend and yet so many unanswered questions about it, as Matt was just indicating. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And I want to read you all the salient paragraph here from this tantalizing letter. You can also see it on our page. We've posted a link to the text of the Wildstein letter and the text of the just as wild Christie letter in response, released on Saturday, so you can see those at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show see it for yourself. But here's that paragraph from the Wildstein letter released Friday afternoon. It has also come to light that a person within the Christie administration communicated the Christie administration's order that certain lanes on the George Washington Bridge were to be closed, and evidence exists as well tying Mr. Christie to having having knowledge of the lane closures. There it is. During the period when the lanes were closed, contrary to what the governor stated publicly in a two-hour press conference he gave immediately before Mr. Wildstein was scheduled to appear before the Transportation Committee. Mr. Wildstein contests the accuracy of various statements that the governor made about him, and he can prove the inaccuracy of some. So that's from the letter. Now, Assemblyman John Wisniewski, head of the legislative committee that's investigating Bridgegate, made the Sunday talk show rounds yesterday to follow up on this. Here he is on CBS Face the Nation reacting to that wording that I just read.
The words used in the letter were carefully crafted to say that his client knows of facts or information that would contradict the governor. It doesn't say that he's in possession of it. I mean, the question I had naturally is we had a subpoena out to him. If he has stuff, it should have come to the committee. So maybe this is material he doesn't have possession of.
So, Matt Katz, we've all entered Talmudic interpretation because, of course, saying evidence exists is different from I have evidence. So what exactly do we know about this evidence?
We don't. I mean, what he is refuting is that Christie knew about it at the time. And that would go to the argument that there was a cover up. So that is really what it's come down to now. There hasn't been any new accusation that Christie ordered this or knew about it before it happened in September. But now it's, was there a cover-up? Did he know about it when it happened? And was he involved in coming up with this cockamamie traffic study excuse that we were just doing a traffic study and that's why the lanes were closed? And the timeline of all of this, if you want me to briefly kind of walk you through it, it leaves a hole in Christie's story about when he learned about it. And that's because he's given us two different answers. The statement that he issued in response to Wildstein's accusation on Friday said that the governor found out about this from press reports after it happened, like he said all along. But he's given different hints about which press reports he found out about it from, and one of those press reports was actually on the last day of the lane closures. So lanes closed on September 9th. On September 13th, they were ordered reopened. They reopened about 8 o'clock, 8:30 that morning. But the Bergen Record that very morning, in a paper that would have been published earlier that morning, had an article describing extensively these lane closures and talking about the possibility that this was about some sort of political retribution.
Which means that the governor could have read or been briefed on that paper while the lane closures were still taking place. So we compare that at least possibility to what the governor said in that two-hour news conference discussing what he knew when. Listen.
So what I could tell you is if people find that hard to believe, I don't know what else to say except to tell them that I had no knowledge of this, of the planning, the execution, or anything about it. And that I first found out about it after it was over. And even then, what I was told was that it was a traffic study. And there was no evidence to the contrary until yesterday that was brought to my attention or anybody else's attention.
The governor from that two-hour news conference a few weeks ago. So, Matt, does anything that Wildstein alleges actually contradict that?
No, but he has no evidence to contradict it, but after the governor said that at that press conference, he was asked specifically if he found out about it in the column in the record that day, the Bergen Record, and he said he doesn't remember exactly, but maybe, yeah. But the month before that, in two different press conferences, first he said he thinks he heard about it in October after an October Wall Street Journal story, and in another press conference he thought he heard about it before that, like in September. So if this really comes down to, if he ends up on the stand at some point and this really comes down to what he knew when, there is some slightly contradictory quotes from him. So it's not necessarily that there's evidence that is starting to refute what he's saying. It's sort of his need to kind of repeat this that has given us some holes here. Now, it is totally plausible. Imagine the amount of information this guy consumes every day about what's going on in the state. Maybe he doesn't remember when he found out about it, what he thought was an innocent traffic jam. That's possible.
So what about the speculation that Wildstein acted this way, that is, released this letter on Friday, not because he's scared of the legislature, but because of the federal probe that's also taking place? You suggested before he may be shopping around for immunity. If that's what he's doing, he has to have the goods to get a deal, right? If he's making something up that really kind of stretches the truth or is really vague and doesn't actually prove anything really damning about Christie, then no prosecutor is going to make an immunity deal for him, or the legislature, in political terms, is not going to make an immunity deal for him. So that would lead me to believe that he has something that's really damaging to the governor.
Sure. But then he would also be in trouble, because why didn't he produce those documents when he was asked by the legislature? So either way,
because he didn't have them then and he may not have them now, he says he's only talking about something that he knows exists, or that was not among the documents that the legislature actually subpoenaed and he wasn't going to give the legislature more than they actually subpoenaed. Are those plausible scenarios?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other scenario that some who have known how Wildstein, obviously a longtime backroom political operator, people talk about him always playing for the long game, having bad relationships with some people and good relationships with some people, and keeping documents on people. Some people think he was messing with the governor. Releasing this Friday before his big Super Bowl weekend totally flipped the news cycle around. The governor ended up getting booed the following day at Times Square. I mean, the governor got up there at that big marathon press conference and said, these guys went to high school together, and the governor, threw cold water on the idea that they were friends. He said, I was playing sports and I don't know what David was up to. And, you know, maybe he was insulted by that. Maybe it was as something as sort of personal as that. That's one piece of speculation out there in Trenton today.
Matt Katz from New Jersey Public Radio, covering the Christie administration generally and talking about Bridgegate. Again, here this morning, after a wild weekend of charges and countercharges between Governor Christie and David Wildstein, the former Christie administration appointee to the Port Authority, who has already resigned over the Bridgegate scandal. Remember when those other emails came out in January, there was the Bridget Ann Kelly, Christie's deputy chief of staff, that said time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee, and Wildstein was the recipient of that email and replied, got it, and then seemed to implement traffic problems in Fort Lee. So he already got fired by Christie as a result of that. Now he may be trying to save his own bacon, tantalizing law enforcement and the press by saying he's got some kind of evidence that Christie knew about the lane closures as they were going on, contrary to what Christie has said publicly. 212-433-WNYC. We'll go to your phone calls in a couple of minutes. I just want to get through more of the sequence of what happened this weekend first, because some of you who may have been Super Bowl obsessed or just who have a life may not have been following every crazy twist and turn as this weekend went on in Bridgegate. So 212-433-9692. But before we get to you, there was the letter, Matt, over the weekend that Christie released, as you were starting to say, in response to the Wildstein letter. He also criticized the New York Times for some of how they first characterized it. But I think that's mostly a distraction, even though he may be right about small language mistake that they made. But he said this Christie letter was titled Five Things You Should Know About the Bombshell That's Not a Bombshell. And with respect to Wildstein, I'm looking for the particular – here we go. The Christie letter about Wildstein. In addition to disputing the claims of evidence, as we discussed – The letter also contains a bullet-pointed character assassination of Wildstein. Quote, as a 16-year-old kid, he sued over a local school board election. He was publicly accused by his high school social studies teacher. That's how deep Christie is digging to try to discredit Wildstein. Accused by his high school social studies teacher of deceptive behavior. He had a controversial tenure as mayor of Livingston. He was an anonymous blogger known as Wally Edge, and he had a strange habit of registering web addresses for other people's names without telling them. So, Matt, I doubt that anyone considered David Wildstein a saint to begin with, but the irony is that Wildstein was appointed by the Christie administration. So my biggest question here is, isn't the governor casting a dark light on his own judgment by discrediting Wildstein with all these things that happened before Christie and his team appointed him?
Right. And he's citing news stories as evidence here that came out, well, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago when Wildstein was still working for Christie at what was a pretty high-powered job, making a lot of money. He was considered the governor's eyes and ears at the Port Authority. So the governor was well aware of all of these things in this memo when he hired him and while he was still working for him. So there was a lot of pushback to this attack Wildstein approach this weekend. But maybe it got through and was effective with conservative donors, parts of the conservative media and the base that need ammunition in order to defend the governor from what are seen as scurrilous attacks. Maybe that was the point of it. And I should also, by the way, in terms of catching people up for the weekend, a fifth staffer, it was announced an hour before the Super Bowl, has now resigned in the wake of this. And she worked for Bridget Ann Kelly, the deputy chief of staff. And you were talking about how Bridget Ann Kelly told Wildstein to close the lanes. A couple of days in September, while the lanes were closed, this woman who worked for Bridget Ann Kelly, Christina Renna, sent Bridget Ann Kelly an email saying that the mayor of Fort Lee had called to complain about the lane closures. And a aide in the governor's office named Evan took the call, and Christina Renna wrote to Bridget Ann Kelly and said, Evan told the fine mayor he was unaware that the toll lanes were closed, but he would see what he could find out. Obviously, the mayor never found out anything. And Christina sent that email to Bridget Ann Kelly, and Bridget Ann Kelly forwarded that to David Wildstein, who then wrote to Bridget Ann Kelly and said, call me. So this was something of a flag that pops in these emails that were subpoenaed. Christina had her job for the last few weeks, but has now resigned as of Friday. So that was another development that happened on Sunday as well.
Keith in Millburn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Keith.
Hi. Pleasure to talk to you, Brian. I'm trying to broaden the conversation a little bit because I think the real issue here is how vindictive Christie is. The Bridgegate thing is just an example of that. And Christie has refused to appoint state judges in counties where he has political disputes with people. For example, in Essex County, the family court judge bench has all these vacancies because the only way to fill them is for Christie to appoint somebody, and he won't appoint somebody. And this is justice denied to your average citizen because the family court judges who are handling, like, you know, divorces for normal people are so incredibly overloaded with work.
And Keith, I'm going to leave it there. I understand your larger point. And Matt Katz, I think that, and I want to linger on that larger point for a second because, again, this detail, which people have mentioned, but maybe I think is more important than other people do, if we're getting to the question of even if there was no illegality here or there's no actual scandal that actually touches Chris Christie himself, we're learning about what kind of governor he is and presumably what kind of president he would make by the fact that he hired Wildstein. I guess technically Wildstein was appointed by Christie's appointee to the Port Authority, David Sampson, but you could tell me if this is wrong. Christie presumably would have had to approve it and knew at least that Wildstein was being appointed and knew him from high school and all of this. So if Christie is appointing somebody to a key position with all these known character flaws, who he now is accusing of having all these known character flaws, then he's bringing in people who he thinks are going to carry out their jobs with this certain tone, which is the vindictiveness and the, you know, the bare knuckles politics that that the caller is referring to.
We now know more than that about that than we ever have, because people have come forward to talk about that. And of course, the Jersey City mayor not endorsing Christie, and then all of a sudden six meetings with cabinet level officials are canceled within an hour. But I mean, he would describe this, the governor would describe some of this stuff as good politics. I mean, his ability to understand other politicians' weaknesses and to have leverage over them is part of the reason why he's been effective at getting legislation through that he's wanted to get through. You know, when Senator, former governor, now Senator Cody was, the caller was talking about judicial nominations in Essex County. There was an issue over judicial nominations, and Cody was involved in that, and all of a sudden Cody lost his security detail and his cousin got fired at the Port Authority. If the governor was pursuing a policy agenda and he had to, you know, he did that in order to, you know, stick a shiv in an opponent, those who support the governor would love something like that and did at the time love something like that. But when it crosses the line, you know, where does it cross the line? And we're seeing now allegations that it crossed the line too many times. Alleged shakedown over Sandy money for a redevelopment project he wanted in Hoboken. Canceling meetings with the mayor of the second biggest city in the state because he wouldn't give him an endorsement. Causing traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge. But some of this stuff has to be viewed in the lens of effective politics, whether you agree with them or not. And some of this stuff people would want the president to do. People complain that Obama doesn't do enough of this. And, you know, Christie does.
Lorraine in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Brian. Christie had to be dead not to know what was happening on the bridge. It's ridiculous. And he could have stopped it. And then I just thought about it. Maybe he couldn't have stopped it, because then it would have gotten him into such a big hole as to why it happened in the first place. And I can't imagine his not being involved in the whole thing.
Well, we can't imagine, though. We have to have evidence when he has an explicit denial out there, and nobody has yet produced any evidence. So we can't just say we suppose that it was inevitable, because how could he not, and leave it at that. There has to be evidence, which is still, of course, unfolding. But, Matt Katz, is it surprising or is it conceivable that Christie wouldn't have heard about the massive traffic on the George Washington Bridge as it was happening until at least that press report on the final day of it in the Bergen Record?
I mean, there's traffic on the George Washington Bridge all the time. So it's conceivable, sure, that maybe a memo or news clipping passed his desk, unusual traffic jams, traffic study causes traffic jams on the George Washington Bridge, and he didn't concern himself with it. He was running a reelection campaign. He was, you know, building relationships with people around the country to become the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, eventually run for president. Maybe he wasn't paying attention to what he thought was just a normal day in New Jersey. Traffic, possible.
Now, where does this lead? Over the weekend, Assemblyman Wisniewski, who's the Democrat in the legislature leading the investigation, former state Democratic Party chair, by the way, and Rudy Giuliani was on at least one Sunday talk show yesterday saying, hey, this is the Democratic legislature led by the political former state Democratic Party chair actually undertaking this investigation. Well, they're going to have to prove it, too, with the facts. Obviously, the opposition is going to investigate aggressively. as this Democratic legislature is the opposition to Christie. But they're going to have to come up with something if this is ever going to wind up with discrediting the governor or with impeaching the governor. And on the question of impeachment, Wisniewski said again on the Sunday talk shows that this was premature. However, here's a clip from this program of the New Jersey State Senate President, Democrat Stephen Sweeney, on that same question a couple of weeks ago. I asked him under what circumstances the bridge scandal could result in impeachment or recall.
The only way, look, if there is a direct connection, the governor had knowledge or the governor was directing it, well, then obviously that would cause that. But, Brian, we have not got there yet. But we are going to do that investigation. That investigation is going to go forward, and wherever it's wherever it leads, it's going to lead.
Even knowledge of it?
If he had direct knowledge of it, yes.
So Steve Sweeney from the show on January 15th. But, Matt, there's Sweeney saying if the governor had direct knowledge, he would pursue impeachment. And that's exactly what Wildstein appears to be alleging here. But that's direct knowledge of what? Of the fact that the lane closures were taking place, simply that, or direct knowledge that it was political retribution, which may be the real scandal here. You know what I mean? Is it just knowledge of and I'll acknowledge that in my conversation with Sweeney, I didn't press him on that point. So I don't know from that clip from our show that we actually know that he was saying whether Christie had to have direct knowledge of the political retribution aspect or simply direct knowledge of the closures that would start an impeachment proceeding.
Or direct knowledge of the cover-up also. I mean, that's another possibility that could lead someone to want to impeach. Direct knowledge of the fact that there was testimony about a traffic study that we now know was likely bogus. That's a great question, and I don't think Democrats know yet either. Sweeney would not, from a technical standpoint, since we now should familiarize ourselves with this, the Senate doesn't decide necessarily that the governor gets impeached. He would be impeached by the Assembly, and a majority vote would then send the governor to the Senate for a trial or some sort of session where two-thirds of the Senate would decide whether to kick him out of office. Those are definitely outstanding questions here. What is impeachable? And there seems to be really three different elements to it. And as of now, the governor says he didn't know about anything, any of those three things. So we'll see if anything pops up to contradict that.
And we'll keep covering it. And Matt Katz, who covers the Christie administration for New Jersey Public Radio, will keep covering it when there are developments to cover. Matt, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, should Lunar New Year become a school holiday? Stay with us.